Carl Herman from Mission Viejo, California. Brian Davidson, Houston, Texas. We're here for all the news that you need to know. Joe Olson wanted to be in, and he may still be in. He wanted to give us an engineering perspective. I had told you on the need to know news on Wednesday that Joe had been doing a deep dive into the Maui massacre as an engineer. But here's what we got going for today. All right, one up. This is going to be huge, Brian. With Trump, did you see that video of his statement?
Yes, I did see it. It was, I think I saw it yesterday. Hey, he's talking a big game. Let's see what his appointments look like. I mean, the proof is in the pudding in this situation. And, you know, we got a lot of promises the first time around too, but he really wasn't able to accomplish a lot. I mean, he did accomplish a lot of very, very good things. Of course, most importantly being that he broke down a lot of America's allegiances to mainstream media. And I think that was his biggest accomplishment in terms of waking up the world to what's really taking place. But like I said, I'm not putting all my eggs in the Trump basket. I'm going to be putting my eggs in the guys that are in the House, James Comer, Boebert. I mean, there's a long list of good guys, Grassley, Johnson, Ron Johnson. I'm giving more credit to these guys right now for exposing the world's crimes than I am to Trump. I like to see Trump developing this time around. I think he's saying a lot of the right things that keep us all in suspense as to what really is going to go down. I hope it's true that he's part of some sort of white hat organization. And I've seen more and more evidence that that may be true. I like that he's attacking the, he's the one guy that's out there attacking this dark, deep state concept and idea and doing so effectively. I think that they're going to do everything they can to keep him off the ticket. There's going to be lawsuits and problems and all sorts of things. But in America, we play a lot by the rules. And, you know, we have a pretty well-developed sense of fair play. And I fear this radical leftist lunatic cabal that is going to claim dirty play. And I think we need to start playing dirty. Look, if you can't beat the rigged elections, then you have to do what you can on the other side. And I'm seeing too many appointments of the wrong people running these elections. We know they're fake as can be. So I'm interested to see how it plays out. But like I said before, I'm not going to put all my eggs in the Trump basket. I don't know what's happening behind the scenes. I don't know what backdoor deals have been cut. I don't know who's protected and who's not. I know this. It's a comedy watching people like Pelosi and people like Hillary Clinton and people like Barack Obama doing the best they can to try to destroy this the MAGA concept or the MAGA idea. There's just a whole bunch of bad guys that need to go down, but I'm not seeing any proof of anything except in the House. So I guess I'd rather be betting on those guys. And one thing I want to point out is a lot of people are looking at this 2024 election. I want to point out that there's going to be 33 Senate seats that are up for grab, of which 11 are Republican seats, and of which 22 are Democrat-held seats. People like Mazie Hirono and a lot of the others. I mean, there's 33 Democrat seats that are going up in the Senate. If the Senate goes and we can get the right committees and the right appointments, so that if we can continue with the House and we can continue with the Senate, then it's not really going to matter how they rig the presidential election. So I'm really paying more attention to those 22 Democrats that are currently in the Senate that are up for re-election. And I think those are going to be, that's going to be the real battle that takes place behind the scenes. Nobody's talking about it right now, but I think that's going to be the big one.
Yeah, well, we are in the fog of the war. And I do believe it is important to always tell the truth And the truth is that it is a psyop and our seats aren't very good, so we can't be certain about what we see. For me, regarding Trump, we can say definitively that he has played great defense to be able to expose our opponents as never before. You had the factless Russiagate now exposed officially as a Clinton disinformation psyop paid by the Clinton campaign as they kept on calling out Russia, Russia, Russia. It was all them. They're the people who are engaging with the Russia. You had the crimeless impeachment. You had J6, the fake insurrection led by, as a false flag, the Democrats in order to cover up the 2020 election fraud. And if we get to 2024 and we don't have justice by then I think it is going to get kind of dark, but we shall see. Okay, let's go ahead and go on. So if people haven't seen this, they should. It's and the key takeaway line is, to every COVID tyrant who wants to take away our freedom, hear these words, we will not comply. And that is going to be a visual demonstration of how many of who is on what side. And that's what we're going to see. And then you sent this, and this is important data, and it seems as if all the data is on our side, that the there isn't any benefit whatsoever for this shot, and all the data would seem to say and indicate that it makes things worse. Anything that you want to say about this one, Brian?
Well, all I want to say about this one is I think from a scientific perspective, and I'm no scientist, but from a scientific perspective, they lay out a very strong case with some conclusions that the COVID vaccine is causing a very, very serious marked increase in damage, long-term damage to children. They're basically getting sort of child AIDS. They're not able to produce the defense mechanisms that are important to take care of the funguses and the bacterias that are normally introduced into human beings. And COVID, the vaccine itself, is literally beginning to produce this new childhood type of AIDS. And I can't think of anything more scary to any person in America than to have a child that's caught up with some terrible illness that just absolutely financially devastates them and makes them desperate to rely upon a bunch of doctors to try to fix it. I am radically opposed to introducing any foreign substance to the blood, in general. And I'm not, I had a heart attack, and so obviously they had to stick some stuff into me, and I wasn't too worried about it at the time because, hey, it's like, so what? I'm at the end. But I think that these injections are really dumbing down society. I think they're really causing a lot of damage to children. And this particular study really highlights how bad that damage can actually be and has actually been measured to be, and how the damage actually takes place in the children through COVID. Now, you're not going to hear that in any mainstream, or through not COVID, but through the vaccination. You're not going to hear any of that in the mainstream media, but I wish more parents knew. I mean, I begged, begged, begged my kids not to do it, but the other side of the family, they're a bunch of doctors. So, old dad, the conspiracy theorist, private investigator, didn't get to overrule. And so we'll see how everything plays out. And so far, so good. It looks like the children are all relatively healthy, except, one of them is not so healthy. But they're those are the people that those are the kids that wouldn't let us come see the baby unless we got the jab. So they're gonna, whatever happens to them is gonna happen to them.
Yeah, I'll put into the show notes here at BitChute. As a historian, for anybody who's confused about anything going on in the present, that's the benefit of history, is that you rely on that. And if anybody has demonstrated themselves to be a psychopathic liar, then you don't trust them anymore with anything that they promote in the present, and you don't have to be certain about it, just say no. And the background with COVID is that the emergency orders, we had put this film clip in. Jimmy Dore did a clip, and he's on YouTube, and the video was just titled 3.4%, and that was the initial lie of the scaremongering of how many people were going to die from getting COVID. And the trigger point for states to declare an emergency here in California, and I think it's consistent throughout the states, is beyond control local resources, and that's hospitals. And that's what we were all promised, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And then we got the bogus, lying, overcycled PCR test, which is not intended to diagnose. And then you had the flu disappear by 99% concurrently while you had all these faked claimed COVID cases. And then anybody who was damaged by receiving the vaccine within the first 2 weeks, all those injuries were counted as unvaccinated related to COVID. So it's a complete fraud, and these are crimes against humanity. And we just need to withdraw consent and demand their arrest. But until we get some sort of a breakthrough, our own family members, and I'm in the same area, I'm literally the only one. But we'll see. We'll see. I think that they're paying a lot of attention to the breaking events, but we do need some sort of a breakthrough to help. All right, next. Oh, yes. They're so connected to Trump laying down the division line in the place of choice is that I think that they're going to have to pull in another attempt for Plandemic 2.0. They're going to have to do it. Otherwise, 1.0 is going to be discovered. And all these people do is they push their narratives and they can't back up.
Yeah, I'll go back to that State of the Nation article real fast.
Yep.
Just scroll right down to the very bottom. I think that one's got a nice conclusion section on it. But, you know, Eris is the Greek goddess of strife. Maybe it was this one. Yeah, there's a conclusion. Let me just read this. It's going to get crazy out there this autumn. And it's not just because of this tumult producing Eris psyop. The Khazarians have much more planned here in the USA in order to stave off any serious investigations into their ongoing genocide of the American people, as well as depopulation of planet Earth. The lower levels of the Khazarian cabal especially know that their comeuppance is just a hair's breadth away, given so much hard scientific evidence proving that the COVID vaccines were deliberately formulated as kill shots, clot shots, and cancer shots. All they will soon want to avoid is being hanged live on the internet, as the meme goes. In view of these and many other radioactive disclosures pertaining to centuries of Khazarian crimes against humanity, the perps appear to be going back to their original game plan, a whole decade mucked up and mired in the extinction-level event known as the COVID pandemic, the latest killing and chaotic phase now known as Eris, the Greek goddess of discord. So these people are, I've always believed that these people were motivated by something that was otherworldly, something very evil, something very sinister. And to see that they've even come out with this name Eris as part of the Eris COVID strain of Omicron EG5.1, you know, they're really showing their hand in terms of their appeals to the real powers behind the throne, and just such an evil, evil concept. So don't be confused about it. Don't be, you know, don't let it get you down. You don't need to wash your hands every time you see somebody or talk to somebody. You don't need to do 6 foot social distancing, and that mask isn't going to do a damn thing. You just need to steel up your mind against the propaganda and the psychology, and then it won't have an effect on you.
Yeah. All right. So this in Georgia, so you had this lawsuit coming up in this court case, and the Georgia Secretary of State, so he has stated on the record that the call, and this is Jonathan Turley, Washington, or George Washington University Law School professor. He's argued in front of the Supreme Court. His law blog has been rated top in the nation. And he just lays out the facts, is that the call by Trump to this guy, Raffensperger, was misrepresented in the Washington Post as if Trump was asking Raffensperger to find votes for him, when he was actually just looking, asking for him to do his job and to make sure that the election was legal. Now, as this evidence comes forward, and we can see that there is no case against Trump, but you would have to be stupid to deny the evidence for election fraud. And Brian, you shared this story with me. And we have the videotapes, and you have the documentaries, 2000 Mules and Selection Code. And as I have said again and again, and I'll put it again in the show notes, is that the amount, as a mathematician, taking a look at the claimed numbers of votes that Biden got and Trump got after the 3 a.m. magic vote stops and all these swing states, these five swing states that determined the election, where Trump was leading in all of them. And then, ooh, they stopped counting voting, and then they have these ridiculous, impossible numbers coming in. And my favorite again, Pennsylvania, they had a legislative hearing about it, and one of the legislators said, so when you started counting the votes again, you had this batch of votes for 600,000 votes for Biden and 3,000 for Trump. Is that correct? And yeah, that's what they are claiming. And that 200-to-1 ratio and a given a 50-50 odds, that's like flipping a coin and getting 200 straight heads or tails. And the odds that that's election fraud is favored by a number with 50 to 60 zeros behind it. And I've been looking for other analogies. And if you were to say a baseball player is a super hot hitter hitting home runs, and that would be like one home run every 10 at bats, that's Hall of Fame level. And that would mean that your favorite player who gets hot, that means that it's more likely that your favorite player would hit 50 home runs in a row than it is for this not being election fraud.
Well, I thought what was interesting about that story was that it's one of the few stories that I've seen where the Democrats are beginning to eat their own. Here you've got a black guy that's running for office that feels like the system is rigged against him. And this is for a primary. And he's a Democrat. And he's saying they rigged the primaries against me. And we've got all this evidence and it's all out there. So apparently you got to be in on the secret about how to rig the primaries. And this is, you know, so right now there's this big push that, oh, Trump shouldn't have been questioning the election. You know what? Even the Democrats are beginning to question the election. And I think we're starting to see signs as they go after themselves, if they go after their others within the system, that they're being cheated because they're not controlled. And I hope it happens, man. I'd love to see more transparency. I don't think there's anything that can be done when I think that all the damage is being done in the cloud. I think it all goes in perfectly good and it all looks legit on the face, but I think it's being manipulated now. Different voting systems, different counties, different ways, but these guys literally have the black book of all the secret sauces for how to fix this election or that election. And sometimes it's with piles of ballots being run over and over and over. Sometimes it's with bringing in suitcases full. Sometimes it's with, but I think what's really happening is they're just using the computer systems to modify the votes, and it's all closed source and nobody's allowed to inspect what's really happening. So they're going to gaslight us and tell us that Biden beat Trump. They're going to gaslight us and tell us that those 22 seats that are up for Democrat Senate seats are continuing to be Democrat and that they're fixed in as Democrats. But I think that this particular cycle, you're going to see some real outrage among conservatives and among the good people of America that this thing just stinks to high heaven. Remember, I think it was 16 counties, 81 million votes, largely centered on 16 counties. Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous and tragicomic. And I've said it before that for going back well over 10 years, probably close to 15 years, that professors at Stanford and Princeton have been at the forefront to be able to show these voting machines and to be able to explain and document that the existence of those voting machines is to steal an election, not to have a accurate count. And if people don't see that or can't see that, then, you know, I can't help them. And again, I'm more and more at the conclusion that this is kind of a spiritual contest, and people are being sorted into three self-choosing positions. One is going to be the good. That's us. And those are the people who can tell fact from ridiculous, tragicomic spin. And we're standing for the truth and justice. You got the evil ones. Those are the parasites. Those are the ones who lie in and know that they're lying, and they're hugging the liars and the pedophiles and the criminals against humanity and the war criminals. And then the other category are the ones who just cannot or will not take a stand. They're just going to be on the sidelines, and they're either too confused or too scared, whatever. And who knows what all this is about, but it seems like life is pushing people into that. And I hope that there's some sort of a breakthrough. And with Trump kind of drawing the line, if our opponents want to go for Scamdemic 2.0, then that'll be an interesting contest. And I would enjoy that engagement. All right, next. I like this one. And this is where it's going to go. They have like 90 indictments against Trump, and Trump even said it, is that they're going after me, but they really want to go after you. And that, I think that is going to be true. I do want to
Carl, I want to bring something up about that. Okay. So you've probably followed the concept of Q more than I have. I have read a lot of things. I have looked at a lot of stuff. I'm on the fence, and I think you have to be on the fence as an onlooker on the outside. You have to be on the fence about it, because if you could confirm it, it would not be effective, because the bad guys would know it's coming. And I think that the concept is right, that at some point in time, these guys are going to have to show their hands. And so what have they always said? What is the Q concept always said, was that there would be a bunch of documents introduced in a court type setting that would prove the conspiracy exists among this cabal of New World Order people, that would prove that these people are a bunch of pedophiles, part of some network, that would prove it. Well, how many documents have been introduced in this Georgia case? 2 million pages. 2 million pages. That's the discovery. 2 million pages that supposedly Trump's legal team has to go through to prepare for this super fast trial in 90 days. 2 million pages of documentation. That's a lot of paper, man. Something feels very funny about all of that to me.
We shall see. We shall see. The overall trend, I mean, it is uncomfortable. It's prickly. It's upsetting. It's drawing families against families, as we've talked about. But the overall trend is that our opponents are being exposed as never before. My just kind of random conversations with the contractors that have been going through the House the last several months, that indicates to me that we have a real good shot at this. Pretty much everyone, so maybe out of a total of 20 people, one guy kind of had the darting eyes and was getting afraid of the conversation, so I stopped. But everybody else, they've tuned in and they've had something to say, and they're really paying attention, and they really want these tragic comic clowns posing as Democrats, posing as leaders, to be taken down. We shall see. All right, next. Wanted to go briefly to the money with my friend and colleague Ellen Brown. So the idea that the banks are going to fail, yeah, they're going to fail. And I'll put here in the show notes again, the quadrillion dollars of derivatives that are gambled by our two big to fail banks, that's 1,000 trillions, and the assets underforming that 1,000 trillions in gambles is 50 trillion in hard assets. And this is the story of North Dakota, that is the only bank out of 50 or the only state that has a state-owned bank. And the advantage of that is, instead of having to sell debt securities publicly to raise funds, which is what everyone else does, they just create the credit internally. And so you get in-house at cost credit. And they're the only state that has increasing budget surpluses, and their bank continues to make record profit year after year. And the difference with the other ones is that everyone else, they have to sell debt securities, and they're having increasing budget deficits and increasing state debt. And typically, I don't know about what everybody else in the communities are doing and experiencing, but here in California, when the school districts need more money, they beg the community parents to raise property taxes in order to raise money. And they're always asking for donations to educational funds. And that is no longer required. If you can produce your own credit, you don't have to double the cost, because that's essentially what you're doing when you're selling debt securities. The long-term cost to pay that stuff off is going to be twice the amount. And if you own your own state bank, then it's just the cost that of your project. So that's a big deal. And I just wanted to point that out to people that there are solutions just within the paradigm that exists.
Yeah, money is starting to feel very funny. It's like it comes and goes so fast now. It's so weak. I had no problem raising my prices as a vendor. I did it overnight on a whim, and it didn't slow me down at all, and nobody seemed to notice at all. And that was like a 30% rate increase that I put out on the streets, and it didn't phase anything. I don't think it slowed down any of my investigations. Matter of fact, it's been good for me. But I can feel now, you know, it used to be that $2,000 had a pretty, you know, hey, that's a chunk. Now it seems like just about everything I do is $2,000 or $1,000 or $2,000. And all those 300s and 500s are adding up much faster than they ever did before. I'm feeling the real weakness of the dollar right now. And so I'm paying a lot of attention to what's going on with BRICS. And it looks like BRICS pretty much is going to have, it's going to take away about 40%. Right now, 90% of the global trade takes place in dollars. And it looks like BRICS is going to take away about 40% of that. If they get the membership levels to where they think they can get them, according to the application processes. The only question that's going to be with BRICS is what strings are going to be attached. Because remember, the CCP is in BRICS, Russia's in BRICS, not exactly your constitutional republics like we have here in America. Just a little different breed of cat there. And so a lot of these countries, how are they going to use it? What's the digital currency going to look like? What is their actual currency going to be called? What is actually going to be on it? All these things have to be decided. But BRICS is really getting a growing, a lot of attention and growing rapidly as the dollar declines and its ability to control things. And let's face it, there's a lot of comedy in federal numbers. I mean, it almost makes me laugh to think about, oh, we need 100 million for this, or we need 50 million for that, or we need 2.7 billion for this, or we need 30 billion, 30 trillion. I mean, that's just, excuse me. To me, that's like cartoonish, you know. You earn $150,000 a year, you pay, you know, $30,000-$40,000 in taxes. That's nothing compared to $1 billion. I mean, how many people are out there working to produce this? It doesn't, something's just not adding up about this whole thing. And I feel like pretty soon the rug is going to get pulled out from underneath this thing, and we're going to be talking a crash. And I think they're all prepared with their new world order, global agenda, and the new rules and laws for society and how it's going to operate and who's going to get what and how you're going to be silenced and controlled and who's got to get the jab to do what job, to have what work, to have what money. And I think it's going to just turn into a big Chinese style totalitarian 1984-ish Orwellian nightmare.
They're going to try. It's what they want. It's who they are. Yeah. Next. This also, here, I'll just go ahead and play it. Let me make sure I've optimized my, yeah, I have. And then let me know that you can hear this.
I was on the island last week. I appointed Bob Fenn, one of the nation's leading emergency managers, and I mean that, that's not hyperbole, who's been on the ground in Hawaii since before the fires erupted as our chief federal response coordinator to lead our long-term recovery on Maui. I was on the island last week.
So he just said that the guy coordinating the federal response has been on the ground since before the fires. That's an interesting admission, and I haven't heard anything about anybody saying, oh yeah, he misspoke, or to press him in on that. Well, why was he there before the fires? That's an interesting admission.
Yeah, well, one of the first things I do when I see a false flag begin to develop is go look at the flight patterns to see what planes came in and out. And obviously there's a lot of interesting things that take place when you start to figure out what these all are. I like to look at the plane patterns that came into Uvalde prior to that event taking place. That's a nice long list. I like to take a look at the ambulance patterns that are supposedly these air ambulances that are filled with everything. I like to pay attention to what happened down at the original scene. You know, people might forget I have original video from that original Facebook Live broadcast, which I saved, which has been like deleted from the world. But I went through that video with a fine-tooth comb, and I can guarantee you that it took 32 minutes for the first ambulance to arrive. So you got to theoretically a whole room full of shot up kids. You got 32 minutes before the first ambulance arrives. The cops wait over an hour before they, you know, go barging into the room to take out the shooter. I mean, it's ridiculous. I went all the way to Uvalde and went to the scene to take a look at it. And I can tell you, I mean, it was as fake and as propagandized as you can possibly imagine. You had all the corporate brands out there. You had your centerpieces. You had your cops set up everywhere to make it look like it's all legit. The neighbors, everybody was happy. It was a jovial atmosphere. It wasn't like, oh man, we just lost, you know, 37 kids in our community. None of that took place, man. Everybody was getting rich. It's just like Buffalo, same thing. So whenever I'm going to evaluate a false flag, I'm trying to take a look at all the earliest and most reliable evidence. And if this is true, and here's Joe Biden opening his big mouth because he likes to open his big mouth, then they were on the scene prior to the event taking place, just like you would predict, just like anybody would predict. I believe they have directed energy weapons. I believe that's what they did. I believe they did a lot of geoengineering and chemtrailing type of stuff and set it all up so that the whole thing would ignite like a big firecracker.
Yep. All right, next. This is very good. This is an 8-minute video, and some of the facts that were presented here is that the new police department, head of the police department, who came in from the Las Vegas disaster, his secretary mysteriously died a few months ago. And you have the newness of the governor, the mayor, and the police chief. And as well, let's see, what else did they have here? Is that, oh, yeah. So the previous law said that you had to hire somebody who was a native, and four other Hawaiian natives had applied to that job, and the law had previously required a 1-year residency, but that was revoked, and this guy was hired. He was paid $50,000 to move from Las Vegas to Maui. And he was given a $50,000 raise, again, contrary to the previous law requiring a year of service before having a raise. So again, this is more funny business as usual from these psychopaths.
Hey, just take a look at the guy from Las Vegas, the sheriff from the Las Vegas thing is Joe. It wasn't Sheriff Joe. It was Lombardo.
Las Vegas, you mean?
No, it was Lombardo, wasn't it?
Okay. Well, yeah. This guy is Pelletier.
I know, but here's my point. What is Lombardo doing now? Oh, he's governor of Nevada.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Huh. How could that be? I don't know. Guess he got famous. Handled that so well. You know, here one day, gone the next. The whole event. Hey, pulled it off. Did he give us any answers? Did anybody give us any answers? And the whole thing was just an absolute joke. And it's obvious that he played along and they said, well, what do you want? Money or power or both? And he said, I want both. And so they gave him the governor position. So it just goes to show how rigged the elections are.
Yeah. And the more I go along, the more I see that none of these people are actual leaders. They're all puppeteers. They're all script readers and actors and lying contest
just
winners.
Just like Zelensky.
Like Zelensky. And then they're ritually shamed and given blackmail on Zelensky. He's the most beautiful example. I mean, shamed to the extent, all right, dude, here's your outfit. Dress up in the black leather, and we got this skit for you to do. You're going to be playing a piano in a duet, but you're going to be playing the piano with your penis. That's how they roll with these guys. All right, the net closes evermore, and all that talk that you were hearing against Trump, the walls are closing it. I think that really is happening with people backing up Biden. So you got Joe Biden with the ridiculous primary story of, oh, no, I only have one son left. And but I never talked to him about his work. I just never don't have those conversations. I never say, hey, son, how's work? What's going on with work? I never do. And then we got 1,000 emails that we have 5,400 emails of an alias for Biden, which is illegal on its face. And then you have 1,000 direct emails with Rosemont Seneca. So it's just crazy, crazy, crazy illegal. Let's see, that's for the next story there. So anything about Joe Biden and the emails going back and forth to Hunter and for Hunter's business and the pay to play?
I think it's a psyop. I feel like I'm in another dimension watching Joe Biden lead America. Like, it doesn't fit. I mean, I remember seeing pictures of him with an ankle bracelet, just like Hillary Clinton. You take a look at, now you can say that it's a body double and some people can make that argument. And I know Jim makes that argument. I don't think so, but you just take a look at the plastic surgery or whatever has taken place with this particular actor. I mean, the guy's got, I think there was a surgeon on an NBC channel saying that the guy had over $100,000 worth of plastic surgery to get those results, to make it look like that. The hair is all fake. He was losing his hair before. The teeth aren't right. The ears aren't right. Everything's stretched and twisted and pulled. It just, and what a cartoon. I mean, here you got one of the most well-known pedophiles in the entire DC apparatus, Delaware guy, long histories of lies and corruption that have all been exposed, long history, lots of people that argue he's just a straight up racist of the old era. You've got corruption deep, so deep that it has his entire family involved in terms of these payments. You got a guy who can barely speak and barely read a teleprompter. I mean, it feels to me like it's just something is, and then you've got fake White House sets. I mean, all this stuff has taken place and I'm sitting here watching this going, this is the president of the United States of America. It doesn't, it's not adding up. Something's just not adding up about the whole thing. And I can't quite put my finger on it. I know that there's been some speculation that the guy's really an actor and even potentially a white hat. I don't know if I go along with any of that, but I can tell you that I'll bet you that out of 300 million Americans, 230 say there's no way that guy got 81 million votes. I mean, 230, maybe 250 million Americans are probably just sitting there shaking their head going, there ain't no way creepy Joe Biden got 81 million votes campaigning from his basement in 16 counties. I think the war is being won in terms of exposing how sick and sadistic the whole thing really is. I mean, this is the commander in chief of the United States military. Oh, and then there was nuclear football. What was all that about? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I wish so, I knew. It's so ridiculous. That really fuels my conclusion that the White Hats are orchestrating a show for the normies to be able to see how crazy this is. As a career person who has worked with leaders in politics for 46 years, the idea for political leadership that the Democrats would choose Joe Biden, that was like the worst possible choice. And then the worst possible vice presidential choice. No, for Kamala Harris, she was the worst choice as the vice president. So Biden, it's crazy. Biden had previously disqualified himself as a candidate for president, I believe, in 92 by demonstrating that he plagiarized an entire speech. He is just a serial liar, talking about his grades in law school, all of the things that have gone on in his life. And he's just this hair sniffing child groping plagiarist war criminal. It's ridiculous. So, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm at 95% certainty that this is a white hat op because of the optics to be able to expose our opponents as never before. But whatever, the white hats can do, next level black hats can do as well. And this just might be an operation to freeze patriots until they can erupt in a civil war. But we shall see.
No, I'm on the other side of that. I don't think things are going to get better. I don't think we're going to see a perp walk. We didn't see one after the JFK assassination. And there were better investigators than there are today working on that one. There was more information going on coming out of that thing. We didn't see a single perp walk. I think things are just going to continue to get worse and worse and worse, and we're going to have to tolerate whatever regimes we have to live under. And to give you an example, and this might seem stupid, but Texas, as of September 1st, Texas passed a law. And this infuriates me. They passed a law that if you get caught reckless driving, they can take your car. That's right. And send it off to auction. That's right. They passed a law. And basically the way the law is written, it was designed to cut back on street racing because of there's nothing to do. So all the kids go out and they find these empty parking lots and they have these high powered car, drag races and donuts. And every now and then some idiot gets hurt because it's a bunch of kids with cars. It's going to happen. But we passed a law now that says, oh, if the cops catch you, they can take your car and send it off to auction. Well, but the way the law was written is just basically it's a grab. It's a grab. If you're reckless driving, which means if I'm driving down the street and, hey, I open road, cops sitting behind a billboard, and I decide I want to open up my car, so I'm going to pop it up to 110, which my cars will do. I drive old Lexus cars, and they rock and roll. They could use that law in theory to just simply seize my vehicle and sell it off at auction. I mean, I just think that the whole government thing is just completely, completely out of control.
Yep. All right, next we got the CDC. So the idea that anybody should trust the government and the official statistics and whatever numbers that they say, let's take a look at the CDC's own documents here. And this is the CDC and trends in the United States COVID-19 hospitalizations. All right. So what this data says is provisional. So this is, they say, oh yeah, this person died of COVID. Okay. Well, let's go to this right axis and get the actual weekly percentage of what these provisional deaths were from COVID. And we're taking a look at 361 deaths, or this percentage. This is about 2% of the people who were told this is a provisional COVID-19 death, but the number of people claimed or officially categorized as having died of COVID-19 is way down here with this percentage. So again, yeah, that's strong data to withdraw consent.
We all knew
consent.
It was gaslighting. We all knew what they were doing. I knew it wasn't real. I knew it. I even had friends, actual people that I actually talked to that insisted they had the COVID. You know, what happened to the flu? Did it just completely disappear? I mean, seriously. Like, if you seriously track the flu for that 2-year period, it's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. So I thought the whole thing was a psychological operation. Now, they might have released some sort of biological agent somewhere, but obviously didn't have the effect that they had hoped for, unless the effect that they had hoped for was a compliant, scared, horrified population, in which case it was very effective. And as for the hospitals being bought off and the medical examiners being bought off, labeling everything as COVID, man, it's just a money game. With enough money, I could get anybody to do anything anywhere except a man of principle, and they're very hard to find. So I have a feeling that most of this world is for sale. And if I had enough money, I might be able to go out and buy up that kind of power. But I just, I think life's too short, and I believe in judgment, and I believe it's coming, and I'm frankly scared of it. So I wouldn't play that game.
Yeah. I think that this is designed to be fair, and the flu disappeared. The PCR test, the alleged COVID test, it was designed with generic flu samples. And this is on the essay, My Best Shot, that is going to be on the show notes here, is that the CDC, the WHO, and 100 other leading scientific and academic organizations all admit under freedom of information request demand that they had to say, oh, yeah, samples of COVID. You want a sample? We don't have any. And so what we had to do is we used generic flu to create the test because we don't have any COVID. So it's a flu test that we're called. So it's all right there. And it is a joke. But we'll
the
see.
Sickness is your television. Why did the Amish not get any COVID? Because they don't have TVs.
Yeah. Next. So here, this is Jimmy Dore, comedian, leftist comedian. And he really did, he advocated for a lot of the things that the Bernie boys were advocating for: universal health care, no war, and was shocked to find out that the war machine acts differently. And I do recommend this video because he does go through the video here.
Or a loved one.
Yeah, I'll go through this and just show some of the people here. It seems like many of the Maui residents are just ignited to be able to see that that it is just fakery and buffoonery. And our leaders are meeting with Zelensky for the fourth time to give him money. And the natives on the ground are absolutely livid about this. And we shall see. We shall see. I think that perhaps we're going to win this thing. And I'll just connect this to Laura Logan's quote here. It's about breaking your will to fight. They need you to surrender. They need you to give up hope because there's too many of us. We outnumber them. And if we don't give up and don't submit, they have no chance and they don't want us to know it. Oh, yeah, that goes on to the next story. All right, Brian.
I don't know what to say about those poor people. You know, they had a nice culture. They developed a nice place. They did a good job with it. They presented themselves admirably in every fashion, in every level of media. I got no problem with any Hawaiian people whatsoever. They've managed to hold on to their land long enough, and they managed to hold out and control what was happening. But I don't blame them for being upset. Look, it's as bad as taking away somebody's kids sometime. And look, I think a lot of kids did die. I don't know what to think about it. I don't know what to say about it. It's just that sooner or later, if you don't say anything and you don't stand up for people like this, it's going to be you. You're going to be the one in the crosshairs. That's just the same thing that they, you know, if, according to the official story, you go back to Germany, you know, not enough people, according to the official story, stood up for the persecutions that they began to see break out in society because of the general mass cognitive machine that was, you know, driving society at the time. A lot of real hatred out there for the Jews and for the banking structure because of what had happened after World War One, when the banks pulled out and basically financially devastated Germany. And then the next thing you know, Germany's, you know, painting yellow stars on doors and persecuting the Jews, they say, and good people don't stand up. I mean, there are stories and there's some hyperbole like Schindler's List and other things like that that have been made into sort of Hollywood fantasy. But in this Hawaii case, that's what I'm talking about. If we don't do our part to expose what terrible victims these people were, how long will it be before they're after our land, our property, our homes, our kids, our cars? You know, I'm telling you that I think it's very thin ice that they're standing on right now, and people are feeling very much handcuffed. And I see that these YouTube videos that are getting a lot of play, or I mean a lot of views, millions and millions and millions of views, are these poor citizens that are being mistreated by cops who don't understand rights. They're always sticking their nose in and going off on power trips. And I think those channels are getting millions and millions of views because a lot of people are really feeling victimized. And another thing I want to point out about the whole concept, you know, when Donald Trump drove through Atlanta heading to the jail, the blacks were out there and they were cheering. And I think there was something really mentally that took place when they realized that this white guy, the president of the United States, a billionaire, gets in theory put into jail or arrested for this stuff. I mean, these people have been feeling pretty much like they were getting the shaft for a long, long time. So it's interesting to see the big uptick in the Black community for Donald Trump. And I feel bad for the good cops, but I'm one of these guys that just sort of takes a look at the statistics. And I think a good cop is good for about 7 years. After that, they start to get jaded and they start to see that they're not getting ahead. They're not going where they want to be. They start to see that they can get away with hiding behind the blue curtain, and then they tend to go bad. I'd rather see something change with this. I don't like the idea that as a government, we pay all these entities to put all these cops out on the street to respond to our little lost cat and dog shit that's taking place and hand out tickets on the streets to raise money for the local jurisdiction. It's just getting old to me. And there's all these laws. I mean, there's laws I didn't even know existed. Do you know that if you get 7 tickets in 2 years and just pay them, that they'll automatically suspend your driver's license? I didn't know that was a law. I didn't even know that existed. And it's true. They just send off a letter saying, hey, thank you. You've gotten 7 tickets in 2 years. You're a habitually bad driver. Your license is now suspended. What? I paid them all. Here's the letter right here. I paid tickets 7 years. I did a couple of road trips. I got a couple tickets here and a couple tickets there. One of them was a red light camera in Utah. Two of them were speeding in Montana and Wyoming. Two of them were small town, local jurisdictions that were just sort of a little bit over the speed limit, or that light was a little too yellow, or you didn't stop at that stop sign. 7 in 2 years, and they just sent me a letter saying my license is suspended. That's the government.
What are you going to do?
I'm an investigator. Yeah, they did it to me. Yeah, I mean, I make my living. I can request a hearing, but I make my living in the car, and I'm a habitual bad driver. Shit, I drive 45,000 miles a year, maybe 50. I mean, yeah, I'm going to get a few tickets here and there. I didn't worry about it. I just paid them, whatever. I don't want that bear on my back, but now, they just sent me a letter right here. Notice of suspension. Your permit or privilege to operate a motor vehicle will be suspended because it has been determined that you are a habitual violator of traffic laws. That's the government.
That'll be an interesting chapter for you, brother.
Oh, no, I'm not. Well, I don't know if they're going to do it. I mean, apparently it just happens. But I obviously requested the hearing. But my point is, in context with these Hawaiian people, people are going to get sick of this government. They're going to get sick of it. It's happening all over. It's getting too much. They're too out of control. They're getting too big. I mean, driving around in their big trucks and having their brand new nice buildings and getting all their money from this and all their money from that. Man, I'm dying for an iconoclast to come along and start to smash this machine, because it's getting to be completely out of control.
Yeah, we'll see. All we can do is stick around. And the breakthrough, I do believe that we are going to have a breakthrough. It is going to be unpredictable. It's going to be unimaginable. And it'll be something that'll shatter the domain. But I don't have any basis on that other than what seems to be the trend. And for the Hawaiians, I'll put here on the show notes their history. This group of people, they definitively had their country taken away from them. There was a treaty from the Kingdom of Hawaii with the United States and a bunch of other countries that was crystal clear in letter and intent. And Dole and the U.S. Marines stole the country. The president of the time, Grover Cleveland, admitted in a speech, yeah, that was wrong. We stole their country, but didn't do anything. The next president, given the context of the 1898 war with Spain, which included the Battle of Manila Bay in the Philippines, is that the prospect of Pearl Harbor was just too enticing and it was illegally annexed. And then the Hawaiians were given the vote in 1959 of the choice between you're going to be part of the United States no matter what you vote for. So you have two choices, either as a territory or as a state. And then Clinton, at the 100-year anniversary of the Steal of Hawaii, they had a document and a proclamation, again, admitting that it was wrong. We violated the treaty. We stole your country, but didn't do anything to get it back. So the Hawaiians are in a position to make a big deal from this, and we'll see how that does develop. With the accepted history of the Germans and the idea that it's illegal on its face just to follow orders. I tried that defense with my school district, and I brought that up probably 50 times that, hey, you put me under oath to do this job, and I'm pointing out the oath that, and we teach the kids, all the kids in our history classes, that just following orders is an illegal defense of authority. And yet, when I ask for the ordering authority, I'm just said, just follow orders and shut up. And none of the teachers had enough intellectual integrity and moral courage to stand with me with that. I had plenty of students and a small group of parents, but man, we need some help. We need friends from high places in order to get out of this, I do see. All right, Brian, you sent me this. Why don't you go ahead and take the lead with this one?
This is all part of the security industrial complex. This is why we have false flags that take place that end up passing laws and raising money to take away our freedoms and virtually enslave us in the very end. They've been running this type of technology in China for years and years and years, and now they're rolling it out to the United States. They're going to make slaves of all of us. They want us all to be compliant citizens. They want to know exactly who we are and what we do. And don't get me wrong, when somebody commits a crime, it's my job to go out and figure out who they were. But facial recognition being used in this way, I mean, I use it all the time as part of investigations to try to figure out who those people, I could probably use it right on that photo right there and figure out who's there, or at least who it likely is, although it's not quite there yet. But how long is it going to be before they begin to consider it to be evidence that this is you? I mean, I can tell you right now that I've got about three or four doppelgangers out there in the world. All of them may be slightly taller, slightly shorter, slightly wider faces, slightly heavier, whatever. But there's a lot of doppelgangers out there. And if they're going to say that this is, but this is ridiculous. These people are just paying money to go to a baseball game. How are they even suspected of being bad guys that they need to have their faces scanned as they enter? This is illegal search and seizure. And I for one am totally against this type of unnecessary, completely illegal search to figure out and identify you so that when you don't choose to provide your identification, I'm totally against it.
Yeah. Last summer in 2022, when my family took a trip to London, they had rolled out the facial recognition software, and everybody going into the country had to go through that for international flights as they're testing it out. They're trying to make it work to be able to identify us on the streets.
Well, that's why I think a lot of that was why they instituted the masks. You know, they had to fix the election. They had to let all hell break loose in the streets. And I think the masks were a good way to make sure that their little army of misfits and Antifa apparatus that they've built was going to get identified. And so I think they hey, let's roll out these masks and then our guys don't have to worry about being identified. Same reason that all these cops and FBI fed guys all wear these masks.
Yeah.
Oh, what's this story here? Which one is this?
So this is Iran accuses Israel of missile sabotage. You had sent that one in.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer and closer to some very serious stuff taking place between Iran and Israel. This is what that same thing that the Stuxnet virus was all about. Obviously, it was a state actor that built the Stuxnet virus. As a matter of fact, I think it's been proven that Israel had acted as a state to build the Stuxnet virus. They launched it. It was designed to destroy these uranium centrifuges in Iran that were part of their refining process, where theoretically they could make these materials that could be used in very, very serious bombs. And so now you've got Iran back around again, arguing that Israel, just like again from that movie Schindler's List, where they were making sure that the munitions weren't working. They're now Iran's coming back and saying, now you're leveraging all these vendors to make parts that are going to explode and not let our missiles work. So they're trying to control the source and make sure that Israel's disarmed. There's going to be something that take place in terms of a major operation between Iran and Israel. And I'm even thinking Gaza and the Palestinians. I'm beginning to lean a lot more heavily towards that Iran is, they're the colonizers, they're the occupiers, and that that the Israelites are the real problem over there. Real problem.
Yes, I'll put into the show notes the published paper by the Claremont Colleges that included a section on the history of creating Gaza as the world's largest concentration camp. And I'll put the 40-page white paper that Congressman Kucinich leveraged in the attempts for impeaching Bush and Cheney, showing basically that when Iran refused to have another Shah, another puppet, another CIA-appointed leader for their country, and that's when the trouble began for Iran, and that's been going on ever since. And the topics of regime change for them, and they are at constant threat. Here in Southern California is the largest Persian population outside of Iran, and the Persians that I know, they have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. They talk about double crosses and triple crosses, but they definitively hope that they don't get Iraqed in the end by the United States. All right, and next, this last story that you contributed. Go ahead and go, brother.
Yeah, this is just a story off of RT that I thought was really interesting. And it's basically talking about how the Jews, and if you scroll down a little bit, there's a paragraph right below this picture, I think. Yeah, right here. Okay, this one really did shock me. Okay, so this is talking about how the Jews are all pulling out of Ukraine. But listen to this. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is Jewish. Although he has posted images of his troops in Nazi regalia to social media on multiple occasions since the conflict began, these included a picture of one of his soldiers wearing the Death's Head or Totenkopf insignia of the 33rd SS Panzer Division. The division was heavily staffed by former concentration camp guards and was responsible for numerous massacres of French civilians and Polish Jews. When Zelensky returned home from a trip to Turkey in July, he brought with him five senior commanders of the Azov Regiment, whom he described on social media as heroes, before they were captured by Russian forces in Mariupol last year and transferred to detention in Turkey. They led the military unit infamous for its neo-Nazi ideology. So I guess I'm trying to understand this sort of weird Jewish double standard thing that's taking place. Now, of course, I had to pull that article off of RT. It goes back to February, and I made sure to use my VPN to project me into Russia. So I'm seeing what the Russian people would be seeing, not necessarily what Western media may or may not see. When I use a VPN to project myself into Russia, it's seeing me as a local computer, just like any other Russian citizen. So I just think it's very interesting to see that, that the war is driving all these Jews off this land, and Russia is, RT is covering it, letting all the citizens know that it's effective. We're driving all these Jews out.
Yeah, we'll see how much longer that war goes on. One of the stories that I considered including but didn't include was the promise of the European nations to continue to contribute. I believe the EU said $5 billion a year to go to the Ukrainians every year, as long as necessary. And that, again, is in contrast to the economic pain that the Europeans are feeling. And really, everybody is in contest for who has the most corrupt, ridiculous, tragic, comic leader who is against their own nation. We had friends from Vancouver, and I asked them, so how are the Canadians feeling about Prime Minister Trudeau? And both of them had a lot to say about that. And these people are Chinese nationals, and a lot of what they had to say is that the connections to a communist style government. So we'll see. It is tragic comic stuff. And unless you have anything else that you want to say regarding any of the news stories that we covered, all right, then we'll give our final analysis here. So for our listeners, I have new hope. I have nothing except the truth of the messages that we bring in good faith professionalism. And all we can do is point to the facts and ask people to make a choice and recommend that they stand for the truth, because the history, as we pointed to, takes a look that the odds aren't good. It looks like you're just going to be used as a work animal and tortured more and poisoned more and mind controlled more and injected a lot more until you're molded into whatever our wannabe masters want you to have. And on the other side is just stand for what we've been guaranteed and promised under the U.S. Constitution and the ideals of the Declaration of Independence, and that we have inalienable rights from a creator, and our government will be limited. And the limits are in the Constitution. Anything outside of that, they don't have permission. Now, that's been totally corrupted, and good luck being able to argue for that. It got me fired from four different times, all without cause, as a public school teacher, even after having the degree from Harvard, the degree from Berkeley, having won awards from not one but two Los Angeles mayors as among the best teachers in the city. None of that mattered. Having real world experience, having briefed members of Congress 300 times, two UN summits for heads of state, all of that was insufficient for colleagues to be able to stand with me in the ultimate challenge. They were able just to boot me to the side with nonsense. So my conclusion is that we do have all of the facts on our side, but we do need some sort of help. We do need some sort of a breakthrough. Otherwise, it's silly to predict anything other than the history. And the history is that we've just had our asses handed to us again and again and again, unless what we're seeing is some sort of a show with the exposure of these people. But until we get a breakthrough, everything that we see, everything that we've shown, it just looks bad.
Well, in my final remarks, I'm going to say this. The biggest conspiracy among all conspiracies, among everything that's permeating society, you might say, is it flat Earth? Is it the aliens? Is it this? Is it that? You can go through them all. The biggest conspiracy is teaching people that there is no God, that we are third rock from the sun, whipping through outer space, meaningless, alone, lost, and absolutely isolated from any sort of hope of judgment or redemption or anything else like that. That's the big conspiracy. Let me tell you something, folks. I believe that we are the center. I believe that we were made in the image of God. I believe that he is there. And I know why he's separated from us, and I can explain it from a theological perspective. I know he answers prayer. I know he intervenes in different situations, but I also know that he has allowed evil to exist for a long, long time, because as grace increases, glory increases. The more sin, the more glory will ultimately come to him. And so at the very end of this whole life, when it's all said and done, when hell, as Jesus described it, is a reality for a lot of people, they're going to find out that they got on the wrong train. They got on the world's train, and the world said that God doesn't exist. It's going to be a sad, sad day. But for those of us that are on the other side, that believe and followed according to the rules and the regulations laid out by Christ himself, we're going to rejoice when that happens, and we'll see it from God's perspective on that day.
Yeah, I am with you, brother, with that stand and that perspective. And for our audience members who don't see it through that lens, what we can definitively show is that all the facts are on our side, and that these people are ridiculous, tragic, comic criminals, and that the effect of our messages, in my experience of this experiment of 46 years working for the most important issues affecting the most number of people and the greatest amounts of dollars, it seems like only 2% of human beings are able to engage in these factual conversations. That's 1 in 50. So if you want to make the argument that evil has been allowed to be in charge, I think that that is demonstrated by any objective measure, and that all the agencies have been captured. We were able to, and that's what this show is about, and the thousands of other shows similar similar to it, and all the people who are writing and having some sort of podcast, they're pointing to the data, and all the data is on our side. And yet evil has been given the opportunity to be in charge for whatever reason, whatever is going on way over our heads. That's been the case. And it seems as if the power of the truth of our message is simply to offer a free choice. Our numbers are not where we can affect policy. We can, evil can mess with us. And they do. And they have. And they may continue to do so. And that makes it even more, I don't want to say difficult to stand for the truth, but it makes it so that there's no power other than the beauty and the power of the truth to compel people to stand for the truth. There's no reward for it. As a matter of fact, it may be a disincentive to stand for the truth. So you really got to want it. So for whatever reason, that's the game that we're playing. And if you do choose the truth, then, you know, make that choice. I, like Brian is saying, I do see and I do experience that life is totally fair in the long term, and that I'm sure that there are math equations that will demonstrate to the depth that we go down that we're able to expand into a similar distance and amount and expression that is virtuous to the extent that we're dealing in the vices here. Anything else, brother?
There's a cycle of judgment, cycle of sin, the cycle of life, and it's called the cycle of judges in the Bible. And you just look, they get into this downward death spiral of terms of sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent, you know, but it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse every time. I can tell you humanity has been going downhill for a long, long time. If you take a look at some of the majestic structures that were made in the antediluvian eras that our history books don't tell us about, versus some of the things that we build today, some of the garbage that we build, I can tell you that at one point in time, humanity was much, much smarter in a different way than we are currently. We might be technologically advanced, but there was obviously something going on back there that was a lot different than anything that we understand today. And I think that information's been hidden from us for a reason.
All right. Well, Brian Davidson, thank you very much. Our audience members, thank you very much, Dan, for the truth. Then I'm going to reach out to our commenters and see what we can do. Monday is a holiday with Labor Day, but we are. I do want to get three people on the show. All right. We shall see you all on Monday.